Now, what is there when the reactive entity is no longer operating? Who are you if you are not the reactive entity, the me, that needs its problems and its difficulties and its enemies? Because if it doesn't have them, it can't react anymore. It doesn't know itself anymore. What happens if the reactive me doesn't operate anymore? Who are you? Now, if I continue to speak, this is dangerous because language is form. I'm pointing to the formless essence of who you are. So I will continue to speak, but we need to know now, whatever I say now is form, it only points, it's not it. Any word that I use is not it, it's only a pointer beyond itself. So who are you when the form identity, the me, is no longer operating? And it stops when you enter the state of yes. One could say, there's suddenly a sense of spaciousness. There's a sense of space in which things happen. So you are aware suddenly, not only of what happens, you're aware of a spaciousness. And this is only a pointer. A field of spaciousness in which it happens. One could almost say a field of peace that is around events, people, whatever it may be, that field is there. That's the essence of who you are beyond form. That's also the deepest meaning of what we call the now, the present moment. Because ultimately, at the deepest level, that is what the now is. So at the deepest level, you are the now, this moment in which it all happens. And then the beautiful thing is that whatever happens is no longer threatening. The world of form loses its power to intimidate you, but it also loses its promise to fulfill you. So suddenly both fear, which is the threat of the world, what the world can do to you, the world of form, fear dissolves. And desire, because desire is looking for yourself, as we talked about earlier, in that world of forms, content. Then you may still have superficial desires. You might say, oh, I'd love to eat a piece of cake. It's fine, but there's no longer that craving behind it because you're not looking for yourself in it anymore. And if you get what you desire, there's no much energy charge in your desires then anymore. It's fine if you get it, it's fine if you don't. So the world loses its power to make you fearful. It loses also its promise to fulfill you. In other words, you become free of the world. That's again the world of form, all phenomenal existence. Because you know yourself as the spaciousness in which all forms come and go. That's only a word. You can use other words if they are more helpful. The awareness, the conscious, the pure consciousness in which it happens. You are that. And it's not something you could make into a concept or an image. And from the point of view of the mind, which operates only through concepts and image making, you no longer know who you are. And that's the egoic sense of self doesn't like that because it wants to be bigger and bigger, more of me, know myself totally. But from the point of view of mind, you enter a state of not knowing. But that knowing is only not knowing from the point of view of conceptual knowledge. That is the field out of which all creativity arises. One could say it's pure intelligence prior to form, pure intelligence itself, before it becomes something, a thought of another form. So on a mind level, you no longer know who you are. And yet in that not knowing, there is a very deep sense of knowing, but not through concepts. The strange thing also is when you dwell in that state, that spaciousness, whatever you truly need to know at this moment and only this moment will be there, will come. Not only what you need to know, whatever you need at this moment comes out of that, because it's the ground of all life. One could say it is life itself prior to form. All the rest is the forms of life. They come and go quickly. Some go very unexpectedly. But no form lasts that long. Even the sun, which compared to human existence is eternal, has a lifespan. So again, if that's just a belief system, another belief, sometimes when people study ancient teachings, they study all forms are impermanent, which is a beautiful truth, of course, a powerful pointer. But it goes beyond belief. It's comforting if you believe that all forms are impermanent. It gives a little bit of comfort, perhaps already a little bit of spaciousness, to just even to recognize the limited nature of all forms, and to see the truth of, as the Buddhists say, the impermanence of forms, the temporary nature, the fleeting nature of forms, the fact that no matter how hard you look, you can never find yourself in any form. Beautiful truth, ancient Buddhist truth. To deeply see it, it could become, yes, another idea in the head that can happen. But if you just use it as a pointer and you see the impermanence of all forms, how quickly they come and go, and not to resist it, to see it, that seeing itself, that recognition of all forms as temporary, passing, flux, that is already the arising of that spaciousness, presence, I sometimes call it. And even the seeing of it is liberating. Just to see it, even if nothing ever was pointed out, as the Buddha taught in purely negative terms, that never gave you anything really to believe in, although the human mind always manages in the end to find belief systems, to see it is already the arising of the spaciousness. And that's the liberation that is available to you here now. It's right here now. It's there when there is the seeing of the impermanent nature of all forms, and with it a yes, not a resistance, that demands that these forms should not go away, they should be permanent, or these are not the forms that should be appearing in this moment is not as it should be.